This morning, so let's move along here. This morning, I have a question for each and every one of us, and that question is this. What is your motivation for doing God's will? Motivation. What is your motivation for obeying God's commands? What motivates you to be here this morning in worship, and what motivates you to be a Christian in your life? Is it fear for God, for what God's going to do to you if you don't do what God says to do? Or is what motivates you love? Because you have experienced the love of God in Jesus Christ. I hope you are here this morning because you have experienced God's love for yourself. And I hope it's that love that motivates you to live for Christ and to follow His commands. Because that is what the Bible reveals to us as God's will for us. Now, if I could sum up the whole Bible in just one sentence, it would sound something like this. God is love and has always and always will be willing and working for continued loving relationship with all of God's creation. And since relationship is a two-way street, we're going to be looking today at the question, what does it mean to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? Over the past several weeks, we've been unpacking what Jesus has called His first and greatest commandment, and we began with what it means to love God with all your heart. And the heart being the center of our emotions and our will and our relationships. And during the last 3 weeks, we affirmed a few things. We affirmed that God wants all of us, not just part of us, so that you and I can offer all of our emotions, bring all of our joy or fear or even anger to God as a faithful and loving act, allowing God to take and transform our emotions to produce amazing and abundant fruit in our lives. We explored how loving God with all of our heart requires obedience to God's commands. And we especially lifted up Jesus' new commandment to love one another how? As He has loved us. So to love one another as Jesus did, as an advocate, as one who comes alongside those who are hurting and serves them. And then last Sunday, Pastor Diana challenged us to love God with all of our heart through tending to our commitment and choice and connection to God in our relationships with others. Love God with all your heart. With all your emotions, with all your obedience, with all of your relationships. This is the beginning of fulfilling that command to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And today we're moving into the next way that we can love God, and that is with our soul. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all of your soul? Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, You who are our Creator and our Redeemer and our friend, our God who we worship today, we pray as we continue to meditate upon words of Scripture that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in Your sight, for You, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One day, a young Christian, a disciple and follower of Jesus, desirous of wanting to become all that God had for him in his newfound faith, visited the home of an elderly Christian. He had heard that this old man, over all of his years, had never lost his first love. He had never lost his passion for God. The elderly man was sitting on the porch with his dog. They were taking in the beautiful sunset together, and the young man came and sat down next to him and asked this older gentleman a question. "Why is it," he asked, that most Christians are so excited about their faith in God for a few months or even a year or two after they make their profession of faith, but then they fall into complacency. They go to church only once in a while. They end up not looking very different from others. They even don't look any different from those who are not Christians. The young man continued, I've heard you're not like that. I've been told that you've fervently sought after God throughout all of these years. People see something in you they don't see in most other people. And here's my question. What makes you different? The old man smiled and replied, let me tell you a story. One day I was sitting here quietly in the sun with my dog, Charlie, and suddenly a large white rabbit ran across the yard right in front of us. Well, Charlie jumped up and he took off after that big rabbit. He chased the rabbit over the hills with a passion. Soon other dogs joined him, attracted by his excited barking. What a sight it was, seeing this pack of dogs run barking across the creeks and up the stormy embankments and through the thickets and the thorns. But gradually, one by one, the other dogs dropped off of their pursuit, discouraged by the course, frustrated by the chase. Only Charlie continued to hotly pursue the white rabbit. In this story, young man, lies the answer to your question. The young Christian sat in confused silence. And finally, he said, Mister, I don't understand. What's the connection between the rabbit chase and the quest for God? You fail to understand, answered the old man, because you failed to ask the obvious question. And that is this. Why didn't the other dogs continue the chase? The answer to that question is this. They had not seen the rabbit. For unless you see the prize, the chase is just too difficult. If you don't see the prize, you'll lack the passion and the determination necessary to continue the chase. Here's my question. Have you seen Jesus? Is your passion for him ingrained in your soul? Loving God with all of your soul. What is the soul? The soul is the spiritual center of our lives, that place where we are connected with God deeply and eternally. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. And how can we not love? I mean, how can we who have encountered the risen Christ do anything else but love and follow him? Only those who have encountered Christ, only those who have seen the risen Lord, who have experienced him in their lives, have the commitment to continue the chase. Only then can you passionately love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Our scripture lesson this morning from the book of Revelation, written in the late first or early second century, to the seven churches in Asia Minor, to a church in the midst of great persecution and in the threat of extinction, is our text for today. And in these verses, they are directed to the church of Ephesus, an ancient seaport city in modern-day Turkey. The Apostle Paul established the church there and spent quite a bit of time there over his ministry. And you might remember in your New Testament that the letter, one of Paul's letters, is written to the Ephesians that we have in our New Testament. And so in our text today, Jesus, speaking through John the Evangelist, this is a vision John the Evangelist has of Jesus speaking to the church, says these words. I know your good works. You've done a lot that is right. But here's the problem. You've lost your first love. You've lost sight of why you're doing what it is that you're doing. And here's the thing. When you've lost sight of me, Jesus says, you'll lose your passion. And then you'll lose your direction. And then, my brothers and sisters, is when you really get lost. So what do you and I need to do as followers of Jesus Christ to get our passion back so that we can truly love God with all of our soul and pursue the way of Christ with our lives? Our text today gives us two very important steps from our Lord himself. So listen carefully. Step number one is to remember the height. Remember the height from which you have fallen, one of our translations says of that text. Have you ever done what I have done before and gotten so caught up in being a Christian that we have forgotten Christ? There's a book entitled Surrender that has a line in it that goes something like this. Before you do the work of the Lord, you have to remember the Lord of the work. Before you do the work of the Lord, you have to remember the Lord of the work. Jesus' call to each of us is to remember, to go back to the beginning of our Christian walk and remember the cleansing, the freshness, the passion, and the excitement that you had as you encountered Jesus and experienced his love for you. The first step is to remember. Step number two is to repent and do the things you did at first. Repent. Metanoia means to think differently, to do the things that you did at first. You know, as I was thinking about that passage of Scripture, I've spent some time this week thinking about myself and asking myself the question, what was it like when I first got serious about this thing called following Jesus and about being in a love relationship with God? And I've kind of told you my story before, and I've loved God my whole life. I mean, I really have. But it wasn't until I got into college, I remember my first year in college, that I really seemed to get, really dedicated to this. And I guess part of that was finally being able to make decisions for myself. You know, I was with my parents. Otherwise, I had to go to church with them. I had to do other things. When I got to college, it was time for me to make my own decisions. And so I wanted to get serious about deepening my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I remember spending a lot of time doing things to nurture my relationship. I spent time reading Scripture every day. I prayed like I really meant it. I got involved in a small group Bible study where I was accountable to others and where, by the way, I met a vibrant young Christian by the name of Ron Diamond, who became my life partner. I worshiped weekly, praising God in song and prayer and being challenged to grow in my walk with Christ. I spent time serving others and being intentional about inviting God to be a part of every life experience and relationship. I remember that. And I remember how vibrant my faith was as a result. My mother called it the metamorphosis of Susan. Something else. How about you? Do you remember your first experience of God's love for you and how you responded to that love? Remember and measure where you are today. What are the things that you once did that you're not doing now? How might those practices bring you back to your first love and the fullness of your life with Christ? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, as John is concluding Jesus' message to the seven churches of Asia Minor, he writes these words, "I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Wow. And friends, that's not just a word to a bunch of little churches 2,000 years ago. That's a word to us as well. Because the truth is that there's a spirit of complacency in the church today. Average worship attendance for those who consider themselves active in church, we just heard the statistic a couple of weeks ago, is down to one time a month. People who consider themselves active in church come to worship an average of one time a month. Lay leadership is at an all-time low. Passion for the things of God that produce growth and abundance has ebbed away, replaced by so many other things. And if you take a moment to search your own heart, you know what so many other things are in your life. And yet the Holy Spirit wants to light a spiritual fire in you and me that will burn so deeply that it cannot be consumed. I'm thinking about the burning bush image. God wants to do that for us, to burn brightly in our lives. John Wesley, the 18th century founder of what the movement that would become the Methodist Church, was once quoted as saying these words about the secret to his amazing ministry. He said, "I ask God to set me on fire and let the people watch me burn." Wow. Set our hearts on fire, O God, so that we may passionately pursue the love of God, so that we may be so filled with the Spirit of God and that love for others that it will literally spill out onto the entire world. You know, friends, we can do good works all day long. We can stand up for justice and march in the streets and serve in the soup kitchen or at the emergency shelter. We can give to wonderful efforts like Week of Compassion for disaster relief from hurricanes like Harvey and Irma, which I encourage you, as I said before, to do today. But here's the thing. If those good works are not fueled by the love of God working deeply within our souls, we will at some point run on empty, becoming lukewarm, and ultimately burn out. But here's something I want you to know, that there's something better that God has in mind for you and for me. Something Jesus is offering us today. Revelation 3:20 has these as Jesus' final words. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Now, this passage of Scripture has been interpreted by a lot of folks as the Lord knocking on the hearts of unbelievers in order to come in and begin a relationship with them. But remember the context. To whom is Jesus talking to here? He's talking to the church, right? He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who are lukewarm and need to return to their first love. Jesus is knocking. He wants to take back his place in your heart. He wants you to take back your first love. He wants you to hear and open the door of your soul and let him in. He will never force his way on us, but he will always keep knocking, always trying to help you to understand your need for him and the deep ongoing relationship with God through him. And that relationship, it's not peripheral, right? The kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have and gives to you and me is the promise of intimacy. That's why the symbol of the table is used in Revelation 3:20. You get to know people more around a dinner table, right, than just about any other setting. So let me ask you again, do you have a passion for the things of God? If not, it means one of two things. The first is that you've forgotten your first love. Do you want to have that old passion back again? If you do, remember. Remember what attracted you to Jesus in the first place. Consider what's taken place in your life and what's taken first place in your life and name it. Name it, whatever it is. And then repent. Turn your focus back to Jesus and do the things you did at first. There's one more possibility if you're lacking passion for God, and that's that you've never had that kind of relationship with God to begin with. There's a lot of people who've been going to church all their lives, but they've never really had a life with God, a relationship with God. You've never seen the rabbit. And if that is you this morning, I have some good news for you too. Today, you can begin having that kind of intimate relationship right now. All you have to do is open your heart, open your soul, and love Jesus. Love the Lord your God. And then start running the race. Passionately pursue the love of God, your first love. And know that as you do, your life, I can promise you, will never be the same. May it be so in my life, and in your life, and in our church. And the people of God said, amen and amen.